You'll please join me in opening your Bible to the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 5. Keep hearing those amens from the back row. The Lewis children are really coming along, and maybe some of us as adults could learn from them too. You know, an amen is appropriate. It's all through the scriptures, and it's a word that is basically found in nearly every language, and we ought to use it more, but I appreciate that. Ezra chapter 5. Tonight, our text will be verses 1 and 2. So, Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you have given to us. Lord, we trust that you have been honored by the way we've kept this day, Lord, and just sought to worship you and draw closer to you. I pray that it's been a day of spiritual and physical refreshing for each of us. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word tonight. I pray that your spirit would guide us. May he quicken us to communicate your word, to receive it in faith, to put it into practice. I pray that you'd be honored by all that we say and do throughout the remainder of this church service and our business meeting throughout the remainder of this day. May you be glorified. And Lord, I pray you'd build up your people, encourage us and strengthen us as we embark on another week of fellowship with you. And we trust a week of fruitfulness for you as we remain yielded to you and obedient to your spirit and your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes without even realizing it, we can drift from the Lord. We can drift in our priorities. We can lapse in our faithfulness. We can become distracted and we can become delinquent in our devotion to God. Sometimes rather than living by the highest priorities and living with the purest motives, we can get our priorities mixed up and our motives can be misplaced by selfishness. At such times, we can be thankful that we have a Heavenly Father who is interested in each and every one of His children. And when we stray and when we drift and we get our priorities mixed up and we get our motives misplaced, God is faithful. He is faithful to speak to us through His Word. If we're willing to listen, He will speak to us through His Word to draw us back into His ways, to bring us back, first of all, to walking with Him, which is what He wants, first of all. When Jesus chose those disciples, the Scriptures explicitly say that He chose 12 to be with Him and that He might send them forth. He's chosen us to be with Him, first of all, and then He sends us forth to walk with Him and then to work for Him. And God uses His Word to do that in our hearts. And these principles that we've just mentioned are seen in God's dealings with the people of Israel, specifically the tribe of Judah that had returned from captivity in Babylon. They had returned to the land of Israel. They had returned to the city of Jerusalem for the express purpose of rebuilding the temple, rebuilding God's house. And we're going to see tonight how they had gotten distracted and how God brought them back. The Jews, the people of Judah, with no mention of prayer to God, with not even the mention of making a petition to the Persian king, they had yielded to the Samaritans' opposition and they had stopped building the house of God. You see that in the last verse of the preceding chapter. It says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. This was not according to God's will. This was against the will of God. And God's people had yielded to this opposition. There's no mention of prayer to God. They didn't even write a letter of petition to the Persian king. They've stopped building. This was outside of the will of God. But tonight we're going to see how God would use His word to work in His people, to once again will and do according to His good pleasure. So tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together, stirred by the Word. stirred by the word. We're going to see how God used his word to stir up his people, Judah, to return to devotion and service to the Lord. What we learn from this passage of Scripture tonight is going to encourage us to receive and to respond to God's word as he speaks to us, and to rectify or to right our priorities. When our priorities get mixed up, we need to get them straightened up. And God will use his word to help us do that if we, again, will listen and respond to it. So let's note from our text tonight two main thoughts. We'll note, first of all, the reproving through the word. The reproving through the word. And secondly, the responding to the word. Reproving through the word and the responding to the word. Let's go back to verse 1, where we'll focus on this idea, the reproving through the word. It says, Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. So for some 10 years, from 530 to 520 B.C., the work of rebuilding God's house, the temple at Jerusalem, had ceased. It had stopped. For 10 years, not a single board was planed. Not a single stone was laid toward the completion of these God-ordained works. But at the same time, as we look in other portions of Scripture, we know that the Jews at this very same time were hard at work. They were going full steam ahead at building their own fancy houses in effort to keep up with, well, the Goldsteins in that case, not the Joneses. This displeased the Lord. What they were doing was displeasing to God, and God had begun to chasten his people. We find from elsewhere in Scripture that during this time period, there was a severe drought and famine in the land. The people sowed much, but they brought in little. They ate, but they didn't have enough to eat. They drank, but their thirst was not quenched. They put on clothes, but they were not warm. They earned wages only to put them into bags with holes. And the harder they worked, the further behind they fell in meeting their obligations. And this was all a direct result of God's chastening his people because they're living with wrong priorities. They're not building God's house, they're building their own house, and God was beginning with chastening. And today, many believers could give similar testimony to the Jews at this time as they've gotten their eyes off of Jesus. They've gotten entangled with the affairs of this life, which is a no-no for those whom God has chosen to be a soldier. They're living under God's loving and yet firm chastening hand. God loves his children. We heard about this in Sunday school. The Lord chastens those whom he loves. God loves and he chastens his people. He will allow them to experience losses and setbacks when their priorities are wrong. That's what's going on here. And this is added motivation for us to keep our priorities right. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we have God's priorities, we are assured of God's provision. But when we get our priorities mixed up, we're going to experience God's chastening. And so the work of God had ceased for 10 years. No one's building the temple. At the same time, God's hand of chastening had begun to come upon the people of Judah. Now, during this same time period, there were two young men by the name of Haggai and Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. Zechariah, by this time, should have been busily employed in the work of the house of God that had been newly rebuilt. But because God's people had gotten their priorities mixed up, Zechariah the priest is not working in the temple at this time. It has not yet been restored as it should have been. And it's these men who, again, witness all these things. They see God's house still lying in ruins. They see at the same time God's own people running full steam ahead and going and building their own houses and then hiding inside as if hiding in a castle from everything else that's going on. Their priorities are mixed up, and as Haggai and Zechariah witness these things, God begins to stir in their hearts to preach. And so on August the 29th, 520 BC, Haggai came forth preaching from Haggai 1 and verse 1. And then a month or two later, Zechariah the priest joined him. And as we read in our text in Ezra 5 and verse 1, these faithful prophets preached to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord God of Israel. In other words, they take the word of God and they reprove God's people because of what they're doing. It's interesting, God never wastes a single word in Scripture. And I like the fact that when you read at the end of verse 1, there are some words that almost seem redundant, but they really create an emphasis. It says they preached to the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. I like that. You see, God's men, these priests, did not waste their energy on those who were not present. They ministered to those who were before them. They ministered to those who were in Judah and at Jerusalem specifically. And today, teachers and preachers need to follow that principle. We need to focus on ministering to those who are there and with us and helping them move forward. And that's what these preachers do. They preach to the ones that are there at Judah and Jerusalem. Others perhaps are so far out there, they've gotten so far away that they're not going to hear the message, but there are some that there's still hope for. And this is to whom they're going to preach. And as we read in the books of Haggai and Zechariah, which are minor prophets, by the way, on Wednesday nights right now, we're currently in Zephaniah. We're getting ready to go into Haggai and Zechariah. So what we're reading here tonight dovetails with what we're studying on Wednesday nights. I'd encourage you to be part of those services. But in any case, as you go to the book of Haggai, here's what you find. He calls God's people to consider their ways. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. First of all, think about your priorities. Think about your mixed up priorities. And then think about your multiplied problems. God's house lies waste. Your house, as you're rushing ahead, building them up, your priorities are off, and you've got multiplied problems. And God's hand of chastening is all over you. And so Haggai calls them to consider their ways. And the fact is, while the Jews may have used the opposition of the Samaritans as an excuse to stop building, God saw through this facade and knew that his people's hearts were distracted, and they had become more concerned with their own comfort and material prosperity than for God's glory and for spiritual prosperity. Again, we just read things on the surface, we think, wow, they had to stop, right? Because the Samaritans opposed them. Listen, there's always opposition to God's work. There's never a time when there's not going to be some form of opposition. But they had stopped. Again, they make no prayer to God. They make no petition to the king. And we'll find in verses later, all it's going to take is a simple letter to the king to clear this whole thing up, and they'll keep on building. They didn't do that. And the problem was not the opposition. The problem was their own hearts. They had gotten mixed up in their priorities. The fact is, God's people, whom he had brought out of captivity, returned them to the land of Jerusalem, they had backslidden from God. They had gotten away from the Lord. And through the prophet Zechariah, God called them to return to him. Zechariah 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers." Their ways were not pleasing the Lord. "Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you." As God's people today, we need to be reminded that we cannot serve the Lord with wrong priorities. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ requires complete commitment, and it requires a single devotion to him. And the Lord sees through the many excuses which we may use for not being faithful. Someone said, if we're too busy for God, we're too busy. If we're too busy for God's house, we're too busy. And the fact is, we have time for what we make time and for whom we make time. Jesus said, look, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And God's people were displeasing him. They were not serving the Lord. Sometimes we can get so busy with even ministry-related service that we can get distracted from the Lord. This was Martha's problem. You remember that? Mary's older sister, we presume she was the older sister, and Lazarus. Yeah, you have Mary who sits at Jesus' feet and hears his word, but you have Martha who's gotten so cumbered with serving that she's forgotten the master. And it began to affect her attitude and her spirit. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you're careful, you're troubled about so many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And it's easy to become so cumbered even with the ministry that we can become distracted from the master, failing to sit at his feet. And we must not forget that fellowship with Jesus is the good part. Ministry is the outflow of that. And so we can't serve the Lord with misplaced priorities, mixed up priorities. God's people had gotten mixed up. Haggai's and Zechariah's preaching and reproving God's people for their wrong priorities and calling them to return to him also reminds us that it's a preacher's responsibility to remind us of truth, which we already know, and to encourage us to keep our priorities right. Why do we need a preacher? Why do we need a pastor? It's because we need someone who will help us, who also has infirmities and faults of their own, but to help us rein in our vision, get our focus, and keep it where it needs to be, because we have a world that every day of our lives is constantly trying to pull us away and get us distracted. And we need men like Haggai and Zechariah who'll stand up and preach to God's people and say, hey, get your priorities right. Seek first the kingdom of God. Live for Jesus. Paul told Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What is a good preacher? You know, talk about, well, he's a good preacher. Well, according to the Bible, here's a good preacher. He's the one that reminds us of the truth that we already know, the truth of Scripture, and helps us to live for the Lord. Paul told Timothy again, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So these men, they're preaching, they're reproving God's people. And you say, where are you getting all this? You'd have to go to Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. You get the message that is preached that we read about here. It's not explained. You go to the book of Haggai, you find exactly what's preaching. And what's he doing? He is reproving God's people. That's exactly what's happening. But along with reminding us to rectify and reinforce right spiritual priorities, God's word, and those who teach it and preach it, as these prophets did to the Jews, also encourage us. They encourage us to know that as we return to the Lord in faithfulness, he'll return to us in fellowship. It wasn't just a negative message. It was not just, you know, your priorities are wrong. Get right. No, it's, hey, if you'll return to God, guess what? He'll return to you. And James said it in the New Testament, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. The fact is, we can be as close to God as we want to be. The question is, do we want to be close to the Lord? How close do we want to be with him, to him? God uses his word. So there's the reproving through the word. Secondly, tonight there's the responding to the word. Verse 2. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So led by Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, the people respond to God's word. They get stirred up to return to the work of rebuilding the temple. And as they respond to the word of God, as they obey the word of God, the people then show that they feared the Lord more than they feared the people around them. Haggai 1 and verse 12 says, "Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people did fear before the Lord." So they feared the Lord more than they feared the Samaritans or anyone else, and they obeyed. It goes on to say that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, and he stirred up the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant, and they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Like those Jews, you and I need to be stirred by the word. We need to allow ourselves to be stirred by God's word, to get back to right priorities, to get back to building up God's house, building up His house. Today, it's not primarily or even mostly physical work that we do, but we're called to labor together as a body to build up the body of Christ, to work towards spiritual goals and seeing lives built up, to seeing souls saved. We need to let the fear of God in our lives triumph over the fear of people. And again, as you look in the book of Acts, as the New Testament Spirit indwelt church begins, they face opposition from the very beginning, internal opposition as well as external. As they preach, these Jewish authorities haul in the apostles such as Peter and John. They say, "Hey, didn't we tell you to stop building?" Well, they didn't say that. "Didn't we tell you to stop preaching?" And what was the response of the apostles? "We ought to obey God rather than men." And the scripture says that they ceased not. Verse 24 of chapter 4 of our text says they ceased, then ceased the work. But that wasn't the case with the Spirit-indwelt apostles. It says they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In other words, they kept building God's house by preaching God's word. And again, as we go to the book of Haggai, you find that as God's people obeyed, He further encouraged them through the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah to know that their work was not in vain, to know that He was with them to finish it, that He would be glorified through this work, and that in the end, the glory of this latter house would exceed the former. There were some of them that were a little slow to respond because they despised the day of small things. But God says, "Look, I'm going to do a greater work through this." The prophets further challenged the people to protect their purity and holiness. He promised to prosper them as they remained pure and faithful in Haggai chapter 2. And also the prophets reminded God's people of the availability of His power. In Zechariah 4 verse 6, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." This is Zechariah that we read about in verse 1 of our text. This is the message that he preaches to Zerubbabel, the governor, who's kind of heading up this operation. He says, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, O Lord, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain." He says, God will give you the power to do it. You can't do it in your own strength. It's too much for you. You're right about that, but with God's power, you'll not only start the work, you'll finish it. And God will turn your mountains into molehills. He said, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth." Zechariah says those words, harken back to a message that another prophet had preached years earlier. But today, as we obey the word of God, as we get our priorities right and start living for the Lord, get involved in building up the house of God in whatever capacity God gives us the ability to do it, we're also going to have the power of the Spirit of God to do the work of God. The scriptures say, in Mark 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It says, "And they went forth, the Lord working with them." As we obey the Lord, His Spirit will empower us. And finally, as we read there in the latter part of verse 2, this work continued with the help of the prophets. It says, "And with them were the prophets of God helping them." Who were these prophets? Well, we know that it included Haggai and Zechariah from verse 1. Then the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, preached. But as this work continues, the prophets are there to continue helping them. The idea is that these prophets not only preached to stir the people to begin the work, but they continued helping them by keeping them stirred up for the work, and to help keep the vision fresh before their minds, to remind them of what they're supposed to be doing, why they're doing it. And also, I think that that latter part of verse 2 likely implies that the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and probably some others got their own hands dirty in participating in the work. It doesn't explicitly say there how they were with them, helping them, but they probably preached and they probably got their hands dirty too. They're probably there and they're saying, hey, I'm not above carrying some lumber, carrying some block or whatever. And they're there to work and help them. But altogether, this helped the work of God to prosper just as God had promised. You can look ahead at chapter 6 and verse 14. And there it summarizes it this way. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And today as we respond with faith and courage to the word of God, He will prosper us in His work. As we just take in God's word and live it out in faith, He promises prosperity and blessing. He said that to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Warren Wiersbe said, any work of God that isn't built on the word of God will never prosper. Moses' success as the leader of Israel came from his faith in and obedience to God's word. Joshua's success in conquering Canaan was based on his devotion to the word of God. When we obey God's word, we can expect great reward. If we want to know the power of God, we must also know the word of God. So let's be stirred by the word of God to keep our priorities right in walking with God and doing our part to build up the house of God in the strength of the power of God. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And thank you that you love us, and that though it's so easy for us to wander, to allow our priorities to get mixed up, that you faithfully speak to us through your word. We thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word who's constantly leading us back to you, seeking to lead us in your ways. I pray that we would be led of the Spirit, that we would seek you first, trust you to work out all the details of our lives as we focus on that one thing of just walking with you and keeping our priorities right. I pray you'd strengthen us and help us this week, Lord. And I pray that we would know the fullness of your power working in us and through us to accomplish your work for your glory. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to give us just a moment to respond to God's word tonight. The first question I'd like to ask is this: have you responded to the conviction of God's Spirit and His Word and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the first response that God wants from every soul in relation to His Word. Have you responded? Have you obeyed the gospel as the Scripture puts it? Trust that you have. If you've never trusted Christ, I would invite you tonight to open your heart and invite the Lord Jesus Christ in to be your Savior and your Lord. But Christian, would you consider your ways tonight? Would you just stop and take stock of what's going on in your life? Would you determine to have right spiritual priorities? As you look at your life, would you have to conclude that maybe God's chastening you because you've gotten your priorities off? Would you rectify your priorities, get those things reorganized, get those things right? Are you focused on building God's house or only on building your own house? Are you focused on the things of God or on your own things? And would you respond? God's people, the Jews, responded. Yeah, they failed. They got their priorities mixed up, but they didn't stay there. A just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. And when God speaks to us, we need to be quick to respond to His word, not to live in the fear of people, but to live in the fear of God. Father, we pray you'd take your word and use it in our hearts, bring these things to our remembrance. Help us to please you, Lord, that we'd not have to live under your chastening hand, but we could know your enabling and your empowering hand through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.